Welcome to the Men on Purpose podcast, featuring dynamic conversations with emerging and established visionary men on purpose. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate the men on purpose who are committed, creative, courageous change makers all around the world. Now, here's the host of Men on Purpose, Emerald Greenforest.
And welcome to another episode of the Men on Purpose podcast, where we celebrate men on purpose and provide our listeners with wisdom and immediately actionable steps to be more purposeful, powerful, and positive in their impact and leadership. It's Emerald Greenforest again, and today we're welcoming our very special guest, E.G. Morishita. E.G. is the founder of The Movement Makers, whose mission is to empower leaders to start a movement that impacts millions of lives. His purpose is to ignite souls to step into their calling and share their wisdom without apology. E.G. has been part of several movements, including the spread of the sushi movement in North America and building schools in Guatemala. He's a genius at creating fun, easy, and purposeful businesses. And he is also somebody that I have had the pleasure of being in a variety of different environments with and playing with in a number of different mastermind groups and training programs and all sorts of other places where he and I have intersected for many years. And he's just one of those people that is just consistently somebody who I see who shows up and shines. So thank you for coming to show up and shine here today with me, E.G.
Yeah, thank you, Emerald. I really appreciate it. And it's an honor and so thrilled to be on the Men on Purpose podcast. I mean, just when I hear it, I get chills because it's just such a powerful piece. And thank you for the contribution you're making out in the world, because there needs to be a gathering for men on purpose, you know, to live their life with purpose and on purpose to go out and make a greater impact. So I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm very happy to have you here. And especially because, you know, one of the things that I know that men on purpose actually have is a calling. And very often that calling lends itself beautifully to creating a movement. So you are really an excellent guest to have to not only speak to our men on purpose in the making around the world who are listeners, but also to potentially serve and support our other guests who are speaking as well. So you've been called yourself to not only make your own movements, but to be a leader who's helping other leaders create their movements. And I'd love to have you talk about what that feels like to be called, first of all, and a little bit about kind of your backstory about when you experienced that calling and how you responded to it.
Well, great question. And yeah, it's, you know, the feeling of the call, and I kind of joke, like they call it a calling, not a wanting or desiring. It's almost that metaphor of when spirit or God wants to send you a message. At first, you get a pebble. And then if you don't get that, you get a rock. If you don't take heed for that, you get the boulder. But also, for those stubborn ones, which I'm a Taurus and can be stubborn sometimes, sometimes you get the avalanche of rocks, pebbles, and boulders in different areas of your life. And it feels like I've been called many times on different projects. So, and sometimes there's some, you know, I felt a little resistant. Like part of it's like, yeah, I want to. It's kind of like a internal emotional tug of war. Yeah, I want to, but who am I to do this? Am I good enough? What will my friends or my peers think of me when I go beyond the box that we were used to? So that was a feeling. So the first time I got the call, it's actually, I was a successful high-tech recruiter making tons of money and more money than I really, you know, could handle. And then the dot-com crash. And when it crashed in early 2000s, then I went on my spiritual dark night of the soul to figure out what do I want to do with my life. You know, I was depressed and suicidal. But then I heard a calling say, AG, hang on, there's something great waiting for you. You know, I wish I could just find out the next day, but it was like a 7-year journey. And God has a funny sense of humor in the sense that it was answered not in the way that I wanted it. It was answered through I just rear-ended in a car accident. It was a major, but I had a small minor traumatic brain injury where I had my brain was impaired. I couldn't focus. I couldn't think. And so I didn't know what to do. So my body instinctively went to prayer. And I prayed if I ever got my mental health back, I would never take it for granted. And after that, then this passion started of helping people. It's like, who should I study so that I wouldn't take it for granted? And so I started studying geniuses and like Einstein and, you know, Edison and Nikola Tesla. And then I started studying more and I found out, you know, the great news is I'm not a genius by IQ standards, but there's multiple ways to express your genius. Like Mozart was a musical genius. Michael Jordan is a athletic physical performance genius. So I define geniuses, you know, it's something you do well and make it look easy. You know, it's like, you know, there's some people who are brilliant at Photoshop, so they're Photoshop geniuses. But that was the first time I got that call. As far as the movement makers, you know, it just came up where I was always drawn to movements. I've always been drawn to Gandhi, Martin Luther King. I've been drawn to leaders who've had made social impact. And then it wasn't until I started putting the puzzle pieces together of, wow, I was part of the sushi movement. I was in a class project in San Diego at a course called Spirit of Greatness. And then the Guatemala Bottle School project got started. And I saw how one person, his name was Eli Call, said, I want to give out hugs in San Diego. And then the whole class participated as a pay it forward project. And one person designed the website, another person designed a t-shirt. We started getting donations. We got a media coverage and started giving out hugs in Mission Beach, San Diego, where the roller coaster is. And then one thing led to another in a group of 40. What happens in movements, which is real cool, is a core team developed, like a group of 8. And I wanted support, but I was back then working at my family business in the sushi restaurant. And I support as I can, but they went to Europe, gave out hugs. That was great. Then when they went to Guatemala, they found the bigger calling. And that's one key lesson is that your vision doesn't have to be perfect and will not be perfect the first time out. Your job is to follow the call and then the bigger plan will be shown to you. So what happened as a free hugs project in San Diego, they saw the streets littered in trash and someone had the crazy idea. And this is what genius is taking two seemingly unrelated pieces like peanut butter and chocolate and making the combination. So who would ever think to stuff unrecyclable trash inside plastic bottles, then put chicken wire over it and build schools out of them. So it solved two problems. It solved the trash in the streets problem, and then it solved schools for kids, especially when it rains, play and sleep. So that's what happened. And it's like, huh. And through those experiences, it's like, oh, okay, well, I can teach people how to do this because I've been doing speaker training for many, many years, and that's how we originally met. And then leadership training. So it just made sense. Like there aren't many people who had experiences in this, plus the background. And you know, later on, I'd be happy to share like the key ingredients of a movement that people need as a foundation. And so it all just kind of happened. It wasn't like I want to do this or this would be good. It just felt like I just took an assessment and then started the universe to send me messages of where I should go. Because one of the things I learned, and I don't know if you're familiar with human design or not, but I'm a generator and my job is to wait to respond. So it's not about initiating, it's about waiting to respond. Like in the past, during my younger days or so, I wanted to be the wave. And instead, it's just so much easier to look for the right wave. Now, if you're a different type of, if you're a manifestor, you should be the wave and initiate. I'm a generator, so I should wait to respond and ride the wave. Look for the big waves, look for the trends, and then get on the surfboard paddle and ride that wave. So it's been an interesting journey of learning not to just go for my own desires, but come from a universal perspective of what the world wants out of me.
Beautiful. Well, I'm a manifesting generator, so I get confused. Yes. Am I the wave today? Am I surfing the wave? Am I fueling the wave? Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. Well, I think you're still similar in a sense that you're supposed to wait for the wave, but then once you wait for the wave and you see the wave, then you can initiate. Yeah. You know, so yeah. And that's the thing. And then you got to let people know you're doing it. So
Well, I, you know, one of my own gifts, I think, is that I see the wave coming before it anybody else does, and I get ahead of the wave.
Like, oh, yes.
The Men on Purpose podcast really was something that came out of me about, you know, before the whole Me Too movement showed up in its fullness. I mean, it's been around for a while, but all of a sudden, I was already uniquely positioned. Do you know what
Absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, there's a few things in what you just said that I want to go back over and make sure that our listeners really heard. The first is that, you know, you're making it very clear that the calling is not just a one-shot deal. And I would definitely echo that as well. And I think the practice is learning how to answer the call the first time and then how to recognize when the next call is there and the next call and the next call. Like, the phone doesn't just ring one time. Mm-hmm. Once it seems to me that once the universe sees that you're picking it up and answering it, then it sends you some more calls. So that's thing number one that I just want to reiterate for our listeners is, if you are called, don't think it's the first time and definitely don't think it's the last time by a long shot. That being said, creating a movement seems to me to be a pretty epic endeavor, right? So I'd love to have you speak about, like, what happens if you say, oh, I'm being called, I'm going to answer this call. This call is indicative of some kind of a movement that is my responsibility to lead. And yet at the same time, hold that awareness that sometimes you answer that call and then you're called in a new direction. Like, can you help us to understand how to, like, devote yourself wholeheartedly to building and creating and launching and leading a movement, which is a huge commitment.
Absolutely.
And simultaneously staying open and available and willing to evolve even beyond that?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. And, you know, and one of the things as far as the movement, just give you just the, you know, what's happening in trends in the marketplace as well, is the number one trend, and I feel the economic trend and social trend I see right now, is the rise of activism. Like you mentioned, like, you know, it, you know, 4 or 5 years ago or so, when Occupy Wall Street was coming on, it's all, everyone's like, what is this? I've never seen this before. And then you have the Me Too movement, you have the Women's March, where millions of women. So the rise of activism is growing, and it's going to hit a peak in 2023. So we still have another 5 years, and it's going to remain strong till about for the next 20 years. And so every 40 years, we go through cycles. And so what was about 40 years, you know, it's like kind of like, it was like the 60s and stuff. So we're kind of having another 60s, except it's, you know, it's more evolved. And there's also activism, you know, there's activism on all fronts, activism to bring people together. And there's activism that pulls people apart. Both are rising right now. And I believe more movements will start in the next 10 years. Any time in history. So as far as starting a movement and stuff, the first step is, you know, sometimes part of it is the personal development, the leadership skills, because, you know, someone could say, I want world peace. Well, that's a big task. And maybe they've never had experience. Well, what could you do? Well, the first step is to join a movement. I believe everyone should be a part of a movement and lead a movement. Now, before leading a movement, I recommend you be part of a movement. You know, every great teacher is a great student first. And so join a movement and join a movement, learn how, what it's like to be part of a movement. And also, then you can learn the structures, how it works, what didn't work, what is, you know, you kind of take what you want like a buffet and then discard what you don't want. The other piece is, if you do, when you lead your movement, you could tie your movement into a larger movement. So that's one of the easiest ways. Remember riding that wave? Tie in your movement with the larger movement so you can ride the wave, the momentum of the larger movement. And here's a great resource that people can look up, is look at the UN 17 sustainable goals, the UN global goals. There's 17 global goals. And if your business or your mission or your movement can tie in, to one of those global goals, then now your movement, even though your part is still the same, it feels bigger because now you're doing your part, you're contributing. That's where we are, is we're in the we generation where the theme and the mantra is let's do our part. Let's do our part. And the beauty of this is it's not the we generation of World War II where people gave up their individuality, where, you know, men went into the military, got the buzz cuts, women became Rosie the Riveter, and they lost their identity. They're known as more Rosie than themselves. But now it's an integrated we, where we're us together, but it's together of the uniqueness and of the individuals, which is so, so powerful. So one of the key things about the movement is about, you know, hearing the call and knowing the key is, and this comes from Buddhist philosophy as well, is like to remain unattached, you know, unattached to the path and unattached to the outcome. Your job is to do the best you can with what you got. And then from there, but still not be emotionally attached. You know, you are not your movement. Actually, what will happen is the people who are in the movement will become the movement. You are the catalyst. You are the catalyst. And so I think that's one of the things, is to be unattached and be willing to let it go. It doesn't mean you will let it go, but at least be willing to let it go for it to take full flight. I think it was Ronald Reagan who said this during what that helped him end the Cold War and really build relationships with Russia, with Mikhail Gorbachev. Is he connected with him on a personal level of saying, you know, they were coming in a meeting at the White House, as the story goes, and they were arguing, well, Russia is this, US is this. And then he just goes back to his desk and then gets to his jar of Jelly Bellies, which he's known for, you know, and so he has some Jelly Bellies and then gets grounded and then goes and says, hi, my name is Ron. May I call you Mikhail? And then they start developing a personal relationship. And he shared that, who, you know, as far as any of the Cold War, is you can accomplish anything in the world if you don't care who gets the credit.
Oh, beautiful.
And that's that ego piece. It's like there's so many lone wolves out there saying, I got to get the credit. I got the accolade. I could care less. I know I'm called on a higher to, if it gets done and I get no credit, public fame out of it, that's fine, because the mission and the purpose is way more important of making the change rather than getting the credit, because that's all short-lived anyway.
Beautiful. Well, we're going to have to take a short break here. EG, it's been awesome to talk to you about movements. And I love that last piece, is you can accomplish anything in the world as long as you're willing to not feel like you have to take the credit. That is such a powerful way of holding yourself committed to your movement creation and at the same time available for whatever the next call is without any attachment to any of it. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much. So I want to thank all of our listeners who are downloading, rating, and reviewing. We've already had thousands of downloads from all over the world. And I want to shout out this week to our listeners in the British Virgin Islands. Hey, BVI. Nice to see you and nice to have you in our listening audience. I hope the palm trees are waving beautifully in the breeze today for you down there. We will be right back with E.G. Morishita, and he is going to share with us a few more keys to becoming a movement maker in just a few moments.
The Men on Purpose podcast is brought to you by the Creative Age Consulting Group. Men, are you ready to take the leap and go deep to discover the most meaningful mark you can make with your life? Is now the time to consciously craft the legacy life you want to lead? Are you already a legendary leader looking for your big what's next? Creative Age Consulting Group is hired to help men just like you to gain clarity, create consciously, and commit courageously. Please visit timetomakeyourmark.com to apply for an invitation-only consultation. Be sure to apply for a consultation today if you have been inspired to receive support in serving your purpose and making your most meaningful mark. Once again, that's timetomakeyourmark.com, or click on the link in the show notes for access to the application.
And we are back with EG. Hi, EG. Thank you so much for being with us on the show today. Thank you so much for your generosity. And thank you so much also for the free gift that you have for our listeners, which they can find at movementmakers.com movementmakers.org/gift. Let me say that again. You can find the gift at movementmakers.org/gift. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is, what they can expect when they get there, and talk a little bit more about some of the additional keys of being a movement maker?
Yes, absolutely. So at movementmakers.org/gift, well, one of the key things, there's three movements. The first thing is to free yourself up financially. So one of the key reasons why I believe most men, and especially men on purpose, are not living fully in their purpose and starting their movements is finances. And so we have a checklist on how I built, and in my prior life, prior to Movement Makers, how I built my speaking and training and coaching company without a website, without a business card. So it gives a checklist on how to grow your business, how to provide the financial security and stability so that money is no longer a limiting factor in your decisions. Because once you have money, then you can buy your time back. But you can't just buy your time back. It starts with money first, then you get your time back, then you can make the greatest impact. And this is one of the key things is your vision, the purity of your vision can't take full flight until you have your freedom. Because until you have your freedom, you're always making conscious choices to meet your personal needs. So once your personal needs are met, then you can go full out and with and full out and without attachment. And it's purity of just in pure giving. So I think those are a few things that are really important. So I think the question is, what are the qualities of a movement maker? And also, I want to share the key ingredients of a movement. So the first key ingredient, it's like a recipe. It's like you're baking a cake, right? So the first step is having that vision, having the dream. You know, when Obama got elected, he didn't share, I have a plan. No, it's like, yes, we can. It's like Martin Luther King said, I have a dream. Hmm. You know, if his talk was, I have a plan, people would just snooze, right? And so first piece is a vision. And your vision has to be so big that people know you can't do it by yourself. If your vision is like Emerald, let's say you shared a vision, you're a powerful woman, and said, okay, Emerald, you got this on your own. But if you do it so big, then it's like, and it's so obvious, like you can't do it yourself. And it's really important, especially when you're growing your movement, say, I can't do this alone. I need your help. Please join the movement. And then people can roll and say, Emerald, how can I join? How can I support? What can I do? What do you need? Here's what I can offer you. Would this be helpful? And so the first step is the vision. The second step is the message, to clearly articulate the vision and specifically tell people what they want, how they can help. Because I think it comes to attachment. Most people say, yeah, we want support, but it has to be in this way. And the key to really grow a movement is to allow people to help in the way they want to help. And if you have the systems and structures, which is the third piece, is have the systems and structures to receive support and the systems and structures to amplify the movement, to get it out there, is really key. One of the frameworks that we teach, and this is most movements, it always starts from the grassroots. It's from the bottom up. And this is where, you know, this podcast is movements, a grassroots movement spreading by word of mouth. And then once the grassroots is built, then you take a top-down approach of getting media to shine and spotlight. You get the influencers, you get the celebrities, you get the new media influencers, you get traditional media, you get newspapers, you get political world leaders to shine the light. If you notice, celebrities, they don't create the grassroots movements. Most of them don't. They should take a look at what grassroots movements do they care about and the light on them. So you have a bottom-up approach and then a top-down. And then you meet in the middle, which is the communities, which is the nonprofits, the local organizations, the schools, the churches, temples, synagogues, the mosques, the local associations, organizations. And so this is the complete way of doing it. So that's the third ingredient. And then the fourth ingredient is the leadership structure. You need to have a solid leadership structure because what's going to be important is your first follower and your quote unquote like disciples or core team to get this out there. And how do you empower leaders? You know, great leaders don't create followers. Great leaders create other leaders. And
totally.
So you know, and you get this. And I know you, this podcast is for leaders, men on purpose. There isn't any man on purpose that isn't a leader. Because exactly. The definition of being on purpose and you know, our three word kind of definition for movement makers is, and this is for business as well, purpose, profit, and philanthropy is our model. It's like purpose first, then profit second. You need to know your purpose, why you do what you do. You need to make a profit, and then you can give, because without profit, you can't give. And so purpose, profit, and philanthropy. And what's fascinating is even before the break, so if you just joined on in the halfway through or so, is the makings of the movement, what we discuss, it really applies to business as well. It's like it's just the exact same strategies and principles. And then the fifth ingredient is the spiritual development. So you have the leadership structure and leadership development, but then it's really the spiritual development. I feel, and you know, I don't promote one type of belief for this. We attract multicultural, multi-belief systems, and I believe there are multiple messengers. I do believe there's a unified higher power out there, and then there's multiple messengers to share to reach the tribes that we're meant to share. And the spiritual development is so key. Because once you get aligned spiritually, then you can speak with spiritual authority. Because not you speaking, but when you speak, and Martin Luther King, he spoke with spiritual authority. Most people outside of I Have a Dream, they have, and Let Freedom Ring, people don't remember that speech at all. They just felt moved. I mean, it just gives people chills. And the greatest speakers, the greatest leaders move people vibrationally. And the spiritual development, there's two key components of spiritual development is faith. And faith, what most people don't understand is faith is not belief. Faith is beyond belief. Faith is beyond when belief has left the door, you know? And there's some key components of how do you demonstrate faith. And let me just share this quick nugget. This is what I teach. And I think it's easy to comprehend, but then when you integrate this in your life, it's huge. Is number one is have positive expectancy. And people's, it's not being optimistic, but have positive expectancy the same amount as a pregnant woman expects to have a baby. So that's that level. You prepare, you have a baby shower, you look up baby clothes, you go see a doctor, you go get ultrasounds, you prepare the date. Same thing, have positive expectancy because you know it's going to happen. Number two, and this is a skill set, is be grateful in advance. Anyone can be grateful before, after the fact. But this is the key skill of faith is when you're grateful in advance, when you're thanking God, thanking universe, thanking spirit in advance and authentically, not like I'm really grateful on this and that. No, but really feel it, right? And then the third piece, and this is the attitude of faith, is express joy in your actions. Because joy is the emotional expression of faith. Action is the physical demonstration of faith, but joy is the attitude of faith. So those three things, be positively expectant, be grateful in advance, and express joy in your actions. That's the level of faith. And to go through spiritual grooming and development, you know, I feel like just going to traditional just once a week to church or whatever, it's not enough. It's a daily habit. It's not like, you know, oh, there are people who just go once a week and then they feel like they could shut down the remaining 6 days. It's a 24/7 ongoing process.
I was going to say it's every breath, e.g. Yes. Sometimes it's every breath. So it's not once a week. It's not daily. Sometimes it's every single breath. So
absolutely
amazing. I want to just reiterate, joy is the attitude of faith, and it has been an absolute joy. I can't believe it's already the end.
It wow,
comes so quickly. It's been an absolute joy to have you on the show, E.G. I want to remind everyone that they can find out more about what you've got going on at movementmakers.org and receive your gift at /gift, G-I-F-T. And please, if you are feeling called, if you have been activated, if you've been inspired, if you're feeling motivated, if you know at some core level, all the way deep down in your belly, like all the way down in your pelvic bowl, all the way down in your balls, that you are here to do something phenomenal and to create a movement that is changing the world, E.G. is your man to support you through that process. And listeners, we just adore feedback. So please let us know what you thought of today's show. Send in questions or guest suggestions to listeners at Men on Purpose Podcast. We might even give you a shout out on the show. And thanks for tuning in. Keep your ears open. And remember, you are magnificent men.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to review and rate Men on Purpose on iTunes and share with other men who can benefit from today's episode. Men on Purpose is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leader who has made his money and knows that now is the time to make his mark. We welcome your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of each new episode at menonpurposepodcast.com.